Our Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight for your many blessings of life. We thank you, Father, for loving the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God, we know that you sent your Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we thank your Son, Jesus, for hanging on that cross for 6 long hours after being brutally beaten, shedding the blood that purchased his church, his bride, the church of Christ. We thank you for the book called the Bible. We thank you that we can read in it through baptism, that same blood can wash our sins away. And then you add us to the role of the church of Christ. We pray for our visitors who on tonight were not members of the church of Christ. We pray that they will listen attentively to the things that will be said tonight from our speaker. We love you, Father. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, Brother Russell Duke will come on and speak to us on the topic that all shall be taught.
Greetings, brothers and sisters, and ladies and gentlemen, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to thank God for this hour that he has given us that we might study another portion of your word. We want to thank especially Brother Brooks for the vision and the brothers that worked with him, our Brother Stroud and the other brother. And we just thank the members of Highland Heights who helped participate in this mission work. And we just thank you so very much. And we also want to thank our visitors. Welcome you to our nationwide gospel call. We want to express our appreciation to you for our great listening audience. As Brother Brooks said, this program was designed with you in mind. As I look around in the world today, I think about the scripture Joel quoted, wrote many years ago in Joel chapter 3 and verse number 14. Joel said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord draws near in the valley of the decision. We all are standing in the valley of decision. We lack power of old. We must ask and answer the question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You know, each and one of us must make that decision. As Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse number 30, he said, he that is not with me is against me. And that means that no decision is a decision. And we hope and trust tonight after this lesson has been delivered that I could say something to prompt you in your heart to render obedience to God, because heaven awaits those who make the right decision. If you will you take your Bible and turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we'll build our foundation from here. As we look at Jesus, Jesus had fed the 5,000, walked on the water. And in verse number 35 in John number 6, John chapter 6, he made a startling announcement. He said, I am the bread of life. And you know, they got to murmuring, and they couldn't understand what he was talking about. He's talking about he's the bread of life. And look at verse number 41. Let's start at verse 40, John chapter 6 and verse 40. And our lesson will come from verse number 45. In John chapter 6 and verse 40, Jesus the Master said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And listen to this great promise, and I will raise him up in the last day. And the scripture says that the Jews murmured. In other words, they was talking back and forth and talking behind his back and going on. You know how people do. And they murmured because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And look at verse number 42, and they said, is not this Jesus Joseph's son? Who father and mother we know? How is it he walking around here saying that I came down from heaven? We know his mother and his father. I can about understand how they was thinking. But listen what the Lord says. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them in verse number 43, murmur not, or don't argue among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. Another good promise. It is written in the prophet, that they all shall be taught of God. And every man, therefore, that heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Yes, Jesus says, it is written in the prophet. But we can see that there's a way that man can come to God. Some argue that man come to God by nature. We realize the psalmist says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show forth his handiwork. Some people think they come to God by a still small voice. But I come tonight to tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God draws man through Christ, through the cross, and through the gospel story. Our Lord said in John 3 and verse 14 and 15, he says, and as Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, back in Numbers chapter 21, Moses, when the people sinned, Moses built a serpent of brass, made a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole. That was for the healing of the people. When anyone was bitten by the poisonous snake, all they had to do was look up on the standard, and they was healed. Jesus was pointing to the cross. They knew this story real well, and Jesus was pointing to the cross. He foretold his suffering on the cross, and those that looked on him could be healed of their sins after rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ. He also says in John chapter 12 and verse 32 and 33, he says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. You know the cross has drawing power. Once we consider the cross, see our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, out there on the cross, suffering for you and for me. When we consider that he was out there on that cross suffering, without a nurse or a doctor at his side, all alone out there suffering for you and me. This is the gospel story. It's the drawing power. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, the Apostle Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 18, the Apostle wrote, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Yes, men can come to God, but they must come in a way that Christ said. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. It's written in the prophet. They shall all be taught of God. And everyone that heard of the Father, learned of the Father coming unto me. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. When you come to Christ, you can learn about Christ. We know Christianity is a taught religion, and that's why Jesus said in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the one in the earth. So we can see that man can come to God. And Jesus says that it is written in the prophets that they all shall be taught of God. You know, some people think he was referring to Isaiah chapter 54 and verse number 13, where it says, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. It was written in the prophets. Here Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah said the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from the Jews. When I turn to Micah chapter 4 and verse number 1, there's a double prophet. He said, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Yes, we realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the word of God must be taught. Men try to come all kinds of ways. But Jesus says, it is written in the prophets that they all shall be taught of God, and every man therefore that heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. As we look at our lesson, we see that man is an intelligent creature. He's able to listen and to reason and to follow instructions. And when we look in the scriptures, we can see that God has always told men what to do to please him. When we look at Adam and Eve, God told them what to do and told them that the tree that was in the midst of the garden, they should not eat of it. Eve and Adam, they knew that. They knew that. They were able to understand. It wasn't that they didn't understand, but they just willfully did what God told them not to do. So we can see that because of them, we've suffered a lot of consequences behind that. But as we look at it, with people, you know, people are not born knowing God's law. They have to be taught. The Bible says they shall all be taught of God. And being taught of God involves two things, hearing and learning. A lot of times people don't hear. They be waiting to answer you if not listening. But hearing is a part of a learning. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 14 and 15, Paul asks the Romans, he says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Of the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Yes, Brother Brooks, there has been some beautiful feet on this call, bringing the gospel of peace, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It brings peace. And you know, the children of Israel, they taught their children. God told them to teach their children when they were diligent, when they were sitting in the house, and when they was walking in the way, and when they was lying down, and when they was rising up. He didn't want them to be ignorant of his law. And so we can see that there's a great principle here when the Bible says no man can come to God. We must be taught. And in keeping with that principle, Jesus, that's why Jesus gave that commission to go and preach and teach all nations. And when we look at a few examples, we go to the book of Acts, and we can see that everyone had to be taught, and everyone came to the same conclusion. They was taught about the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, and all of them came to the same conclusion. They was baptized. If you want to know if you're saved, just do what these people here did. When we look at the scriptures in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, that great memorial day of the Jews, they had accused the apostles of being full of wine, new wine, when they spoke with other tongues. The Bible said that Peter was standing up with the 11 and told the people that what the apostles were not filled with new wine, but this occasion was the fulfillment of a prophecy. He then showed them that they also was fulfilling prophecy. When they had taken the Christ and who was not guilty of any crime and crucified him, they came to the same conclusion, Acts 2 and verse number 37, when they learned that they were sinners, when they learned that they participated in the death of the Lord, they cried and asked Peter and the apostles, said they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Yes, they realized they were sinners. And when they realized they were sinners, the Bible says that all, not y'all, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we look at another man. We can learn a great lesson from this man. And he's found in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26 to 39. And they call him the Ethiopian eunuch. And that letters we can see here that they show that people must be taught of God if they want to come to the church and to the Lord. The Bible tells us that he was a man of great authority in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. We can see that he was a man of great authority. The Bible says that he was a worshiper. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. In other words, he was a busy man. He was a treasurer of Ethiopia. He was a man of great authority. He was busy. The Bible says he had been to Jerusalem for the worship. And when I study this passage here, they said that from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, about 1,000 miles. They said it was about a 2-month journey to make this trip. This man was a worshiper. And we can see that we can see where he must face all kinds of weather, rain, wind. Not only that, we can see that the man was a scripture reader. The Bible says that he was returning in his chariot, verse number 28, and was sitting in his chariot, and he read Isaiah the prophet. And from my study, I think he came from Isaiah chapter 53. But the problem I can see in the religious world today, the greatest problem that people have in Christianity is not distinguishing the Old and the New Testament. Some people have read the Bible for many, many years and still do not know the difference between the Old and the New Testament. The Bible says he was reading the book of Isaiah. In other words, he was a Bible reader. He was reading a scroll. I'm told that a scroll can, once you fold them out, they can fold out to be 25 feet, I mean. And we can see when the Spirit guided Philip. The Bible says that he ran to him and heard the prophet reading out of the book of Isaiah. The place where he was reading, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter and a lamb dumb before his shears. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generations, for his life is taken from the earth? And the Bible says, Philip asked the man, do you understand what you read? And the man, he was humble enough to admit he didn't know. He said, how can I except some man shall guide me? The Ethiopian was sincere, but he was lost. Nobody had told him about Christ. The Bible said that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. No man or no one had told him that the scripture that he was reading had already been fulfilled on the cross. He didn't know anything about Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection. He didn't know anything about the church. He didn't know anything about being in Christ, blood of Christ. He just didn't know. The Bible says in verse number 33, it says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. We can see that on the cross. When our Lord was humiliated, spit upon, slapped, and mocked, stripped of his clothing, humiliated. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. When Pilate cried out, I find no fault with him. But they said, away with him, crucify him. His judgment was taken away. Pilate cried, why? What evil have you done? They cried, away with him, crucify him. His judgment was taken away. Yes, our Lord suffered out there on the cross, declared to be innocent, but his judgment was taken away. We want to look at another example here. And we're going to look at the Philippian jailer, and we're going to conclude with him. As far as we know, he was not a religious man. But he worked as a jailer in the Roman system. He did not have an inkling that he was going to meet Paul and Silas that night. But as he was working, he was charged to keep Paul and Silas in safety. And having received such a charge, the Bible said that he put them in the inner prison and made their feet, they thrust them in the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang song of praise, and an earthquake opened the doors. And he rushed out to knowing that he would be charged, letting the prisoner escape. He was about to harm himself, and Paul cried out, do thyself no harm. The Bible says he called for a light and sprang in. We can see that he sprang in and trembling. And the Bible said that he asked Paul, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? We noticed that they didn't tell him to say a sinner's prayer. The Bible says that they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Well, you might ask, what is the word of the Lord? Here it is, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. We can see that our Lord, the word of the Lord, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. And he also said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be damned. Yes, the gospel is a saving power. And when they taught him the gospel, the Bible said it took him the same hour of the night. He wiped their stripes and he was baptized. And after they baptized, they came back in and had dinner. Yes, we can see something from the Philippian jailer. We can see that it was the same hour of the night. We can see in Bible times that when it came to baptism, it was an urgent matter. We can see that they did not eat a bite. They did not drink a drop. And they did not sleep a wink till they obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, it's urgent, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to the salvation of your soul. And not only that, we can learn another great lesson. Christ can save any time. It was midnight. You don't have to wait till in the morning. Call somebody tonight. He can save anywhere. He saved in Jerusalem. He saved the eunuch in the desert. And he's saving the Philippian jailer in Philippi. He can save any time. Yes, our Lord has the power to save. Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to this earth to be the Son of Man, that we might be the Son of God. He became poor, that we might become rich. He became the man of sorrow, that we might become sisters and brothers of joy. He came to earth, that we might go to heaven. Here's Apostle Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, that you keep in memory that I preached unto you, lest you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all how that Christ died for our sins, and how that he was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Yes, this is the story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ought to be like the people on the day of Pentecost. They sued for mercy when they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? According to the Scriptures, a man must hear the gospel. Romans 10 and verse number 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Luke 11 and verse 26 and 28, one of the ladies cried out in the crowd and said, blessed is the womb that bears thee and the breast that you have sucked. Jesus said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus also said, except a man believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. He who? The Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God, who came to take away the sin of the world, the one who purchased the church with his blood. In Matthew 10 and verse number 32, Jesus taught this about salvation. He said, whoever confessed me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. In Luke 13 and 3, Jesus taught that a man must repent. Except you repent, you should all likewise perish. Our Lord and Savior taught baptism in Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16, and Matthew 28 and 18 through 20. We can see that a person must hear the gospel, believe the same, repent of their sin, and confess Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And the Lord will add you to the church. The church is the greatest institution in human history that the world has ever known. The reason it is the greatest institution is because Christ built it. He is the head of the church. He purchased the church with his blood. He is the foundation of the church in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11. He is the head of the church, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. He died for the church. Nobody else can make this claim in Ephesians 5 and verse number 25. We can see that the church is society enough to fellowship in. The church is house enough to live in. The church is temple enough to worship in. The church is vineyard enough to work in. The church alone treasures the human soul. It is worth more than anything. The church alone is the one that looks after the soul. The church alone is the only one waging an all-out war against sin. The church alone is the only institution preaching the gospel of Christ. The church alone is the only institution that can help men find the blood of Christ. And the church alone is the only one that Christ will take back to heaven when he comes. If you are not a Christian tonight, we hope and trust that I've said something tonight that will help you to make up your mind and make decisions, because heaven awaits those that make the right decision. At this time, I turn you back into the hands of Brother Brooks. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Brother Duke. We appreciate you so very much for accepting our invitation to come on our call tonight. And we are very, very thankful that God has given us his word. And those who want to be taught can be taught of God. He leaves it up to us to obey it. Thank you for letting us know that. We pray tonight, if you're on tonight, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, he's put emphasis on the church that Jesus died for and built, and is the only one in the Bible. And to say they're in that church, and that is the Church of Christ. And then emphasis on baptism. Obedience to God requires baptism. If you want to be baptized tonight, you got to obey the gospel in order to be saved. It's in baptism that your sins are washed away. And then the Lord would add you to that church. We're talking about the Church of Christ. So if you have an interest in being baptized, get back with the person that invited you to our call. They're members of the Church of Christ. They can get you to someone close to you. Or if you have questions for our speaker and you would like further studies, or you'd like for us to make arrangements, no matter where you are, in our listening audience, we'll make the arrangements to make sure we get you baptized like we've done others on our call. Just go ahead and email us if you have questions or you desire baptism, you desire further teaching. Email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Now, you may want to go back and listen to this message over. You can go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And you go to our website, go to Nationwide Gospel Meeting, and you'll find all the sermons. There are many, many other topics. Maybe you're interested in baptism. Maybe you're interested in why we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Maybe other things that you want to know why we don't use instrumental music. All those topics are on our website. You can go and listen to any of the speakers that we've had. There are pictures of their names, and their sermons. And so we've made everything there for you. You can also go to our YouTube page, Holland Heights in Houston, Texas, Holland Heights Church of Christ, Houston, Texas. You can go to our Facebook page. We got the information out there for you. If you're seeking the truth, one thing we know, God seeks those who are seeking to be true worshipers. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day you've given us. We know we haven't seen it before. We'll never see it again. But you allowed us to see it up to this point of this day. We thank you for Brother Dukes, Lord. We pray your blessings upon him, upon his preaching ministry. We pray you continue to give him a long life to continue to preach the gospel without addition or subtraction. We thank you for all of our speakers, Father, who come on our program. But most importantly, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who hung and let him die on Calvary, shed his blood, and wash our sins away in baptism, and purchase his church, and wear his name. And we pray a special prayer for our visitors, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they receive your word with meekness, and no one is able to save their precious soul. Father, we love you, and we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you all have a good night. Join us tomorrow night. Brother Glenn Colley, the son of Gary Colley, will come on. He'll kick it off, the father and son, Tuesday through Friday, all this month. So join us tomorrow. He's going to talk about why tariffs now. Some people wait too long. We'll talk about that tariffs tomorrow night. Brother Glenn Colley. Look forward to having everyone on tomorrow night. Invite others that you don't need to hear the gospel. other members of the church who just want to be supported. Invite them as well. Thank you to those who have been on our call since the month of May. Thank you for your prayers, for your attendance, and thank you for your financial support for those who have sent it. If you have a desire to help us financially, it's not required. But if you want to tune in in your heart to help with this evangelistic outreach, go ahead and go to our website, the online unit. That's at hollyhcoc.net. There's a tab there for the nationwide gospel needs. Also, a P.O. box you can mail if you decide to. It's not required, but if you want to help us out, that's fine. We know God will provide, and we want this program to be about saving. May God bless you. Have a good night.